Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. I am Brian Hefty, live in the Morton studio. I can't tell you how excited I am for today's show because our topic today is pigweed control. If pigweed is an issue for you on your farm, you absolutely will want to stay tuned today. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about how we can get this tough weed wiped out. If you've got any questions for us, or if you'd like to talk about this weed or anything else going on in your farm, you can give me a call here at the Morton studio. It is 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. Or you can send me an email, radio@agphd.com. So my brother Darren is traveling today. Tomorrow he's going to be in Twin Falls, Idaho. And I know he would love to see you at the agronomy workshop that he is doing out there tomorrow if you're in that area. You can go to agphd.com to learn more about the details of that. On Wednesday, I'm going to be up in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, doing an Ag PhD soils clinic. That same day, our Ag PhD research lead, Glenn Herz, and agronomist Rob Fritz are going to be out in Moses Lake, Washington with an agronomy workshop, and then the next day they're going to be in Spokane, Washington. So we got a lot of great events coming up for you. Again, go to agphd.com to learn more about that. All right, well, again, our topic today is pigweeds. So we want to get right into that, and I will just first say that if you've got a pigweed issue on your farm, do not lose hope. Do not say, well, you know, they're resistant to everything now, and I just can't get these things under control, and it's a disaster. No way. We absolutely can stop them. I don't care what the crop is. We can get them under control. Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily going to be super easy or inexpensive, but we absolutely can get these pigweeds under control. So let's start first in soybeans. I love talking about soybeans because that's where we get the most questions about pigweed. Now, when I say pigweed, what I'm talking about here is any of the pigweed species. Palmer pigweed is number one in the south. Water hemp is number one in the north. The old number one used to be red root pigweed. That's what we fought the most. But there are a number of different pigweed species out there. I don't care which one you have. Here's what I would do if it was me and I was raising soybeans. Well, I'll just tell you, I do raise soybeans, and this year we'll probably have 1,000 acres of beans. We're going a little more toward corn just because of our rotation this year, but we are going to have a lot of beans. All right, either I would suggest you plant Xtend soybeans or you plant Enlist soybeans, assuming they get approved here. Well, they're approved in China already, but assuming your dealer will sell you Enlist beans in your area, you can use Enlist beans, I'd go one direction or the other because that's going to give you more post-emerge options. All right, so either way, whatever you do, I would strongly encourage you start with three effective modes of action pre-emerge. Now, there are many products out there that could have three modes of action, but are all three of them effective on pigweed? Okay, so start with either Valor or Authority. I really want to use one of those modes of action. I need a PPO out there. That's going to be real good for you. The next thing is use some Metribuzin, and then use one of the yellows. Trifluralin if you're in conventional till, Prowl if you're in no-till, but use one of the yellows. They are also, let me put it to you this way. All three of those, the PPO, the Metribuzin, the yellow, none of them is going to be perfect by itself. But when you put each one of the three out there, put all three of them together, now you've really got something. You use three effective modes of action pre-emerge, you're going to have a real tough, your water hemp's going to have a tough time getting past you. Your Palmer pigweed's going to have a tough time getting past that. Start with three pre's. Then, early post. What I'm usually talking to people about is a combination of one of the group 15s, whether that is Warrant, Outlook, Zidua, Dual, something like that, a group 15, plus Flexstar. So if you've got a combination of a group 15 and Flexstar, you're not going to spend all that much money. I mean, you're going to be in the range of probably as little as $6 to maybe $10 total. Okay, you do that. And now what have we done so far? We've used four different modes of action. That's awesome. That's what I'm after. Now, if you did use the Xtend beans or you used Enlist beans, now you can follow with a growth regulator. So something in that group four family, either we're talking dicamba, one of the like Ingenia or Extendamax, one of those types of products on the Extend beans, or you can use Enlist One on your Enlist soybeans. But either way, you've got another mode of action. So now we're up to five effective modes of action. Well, when you start getting five effective modes of action out there, that's awesome. Your chances for having weed resistance are a lot less in the future. And like I always tell people, you know, a dead weed can't become a resistant weed. So now we've really got something. Late post. If you had Enlist beans, you could always come back with Liberty. If you have Extend beans, you may be limited on how late you're going to be able to go. With Enlist, you can go all the way up to R2. Extend, you're talking R1 for that growth regulator, or you may be regulated by an earlier date. So for example, in North Dakota, the cutoff is June 30 for Extendamax and Ingenia, and Fexapan. In Minnesota, it's June 20th. Also, you have to look at 45 days after planting for that dicamba product. So the point is, if we're talking late post in Extend beans, you're probably looking at something like Cobra. And certainly, you can throw some Power Max or some type of glyphosate in there as well. But here's my whole point. Use many modes of action. Get out there early. Make sure you've got residual herbicides. And when you are spraying post-emerge, spray small weeds. You know what? Even when you're using glyphosate, a lot of people want to tell me, oh, glyphosate doesn't work anymore and all these weeds are resistant. Are they really resistant? Or are you just trying to spray weeds that are too big? I still find a lot of people that are controlling pigweed species with glyphosate when the weeds are a half inch tall. So I'm not saying that for sure will work on your farm, but I am saying that almost all herbicides work better when the weeds are smaller. Spray when the weather is good, so we're talking warm and humid. Spray when the weeds are small, and you absolutely can do better with most any herbicide out there. Well, we'll continue talking about pigweeds today. I know I just covered soybeans, but we'll talk about a lot of other crops and control in those crops. And we've got a few guests coming up as well. Stay tuned. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio.
One year it could be moisture stress, another Pythium or nematodes. So you need your soybeans to rise ready for whatever the season holds. Now one simple decision provides coverage on four fronts. The Acceleron portfolio, fungicides, insecticides, bioenhancers, and an industry-leading nematicide that strikes where nematodes attack. This season, rise stronger with Acceleron seed treatment products. Learn more at AcceleronSAS.com/riseready. Performance may vary. It's important to use proper PPE when handling treated seed.
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark, and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? The Soil Warrior can reduce trips across the field, optimize nutrient placement, and improve soil health. So you can lower production costs without losing yield. See what makes the Soil Warrior different and better at SoilWarrior.com.
Tired of that old warped poly boom ruining your spray applications? Express Boom from Hypro is a fully assembled stainless steel boom that ensures an even application of chemicals every time. Don't wait another season. Upgrade today. Hypro, helping you spray better.
Are you frustrated with white mold showing up year after year in your soybeans? If you have tried fungicide applications and are still losing yield to white mold, now is the time to ask your seed dealer about Heads Up Plant Protectant. Heads Up is the first EPA-registered seed treatment for the prevention of white mold in soybeans and pulse crops. The first line of defense on your farm against white mold now starts with the right seed treatment package. Locate a Heads Up dealer near you by visiting headsupst.com today.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. Brian Hefty here live in the Morton studio. If you've got a question for us or you want to call in to talk about today's topic, pigweed, our number here is 844-44-AG-PHD. It's 844-442-4743. Or send me an email, radio@agphd.com. All right, first on the show today, we've got Chad Asmus. He is with BASF. Chad, how are you doing today?
Great, Brian. How are you?
Excellent. All right, so we're talking about pigweeds. Whether we're talking corn, soybeans, a number of different crops out there, I know for BSF you've got a lot of options for pigweed control. What are the top two or three products you're usually talking to farmers about?
Well, when it comes to pigweed control, I like to lay it out there. Just, you know, simply spray the dirt, not the weeds. You know, you guys opened up the program, did a really good job of talking about your residuals up front. And so as far as residual pigweed control goes, really one of the best products out there is going to be Zidua, right? And so Zidua and the products containing Zidua, Zidua Pro for soybeans, and the crop flexibility is going to give you that excellent residual control. We also have Outlook herbicide. You know, it's a good herbicide. You talked about putting a group 15 something over the top, again spraying that dirt and trying to put that residual barrier there and really kind of keep that trait platform. You know, of course we sell Ingenia herbicide for the dicamba tolerant acre, but I'd like to stress the importance again of the trait platform, kind of cleaning up the weeds and using a good residual program up front.
It's got to be a little frustrating for you though, Chad, because you only have a certain amount of time to talk to people and you have so many different products. Well, I'm serious, because there are a lot of things you could go into to say, all right, this has activity, this one does, this one does, this one does. You mentioned both Zidu and Outlook. They're both group 15s. So here comes one of the first choices. How do I decide whether I should use Zidu or should I use Outlook?
Well, Outlook is going to have a little wider application window. It will allow you to go up to see fifth trifoliate over your top of your soybean. So if you're going to be running a little bit later, that would be a good way to differentiate. So just one good rule of thumb there.
All right. So what else? How about any of the other crops? Let's talk about corn. I realize for a lot of guys, they say, oh, I can do a good job controlling this weed in corn, but can you kill 100%? Because we don't want to have any left going into soybeans. So what are the top two or three products you'd mention for corn?
Yeah, again, I'd stress the same principles of spraying the dirt, not the weed. So have a good program up front. Verdict is one of our most popular corn herbicides. It's really the only PPO. You mentioned the PPO. It's about the only PPO that you can run pre-emerge on corn like that. And so that is another way to tie in a new site of action as well. Status is a product that's used commonly in corn. It actually is two sites of action, right? It's not just a safe and dicamba. It does have an additional site of action in there as well. Armazon Pro, you've got the HPPD with the Outlook component. So again, a lot of options depending on what your rotations are, what your cropping practices are, and what works best on your farm.
Yeah, as you're going through that, I sometimes forget about Armazon Pro because we talk so much about Verdict and Status. That's right, you've got the HPPD option also. So you mentioned Verdict, that's got Sharpen in there. We love Sharpen and the use of that PPO in corn because you can use a big rate, gives you lots of residual, that's nice. I'm glad you brought up the point about Status. I get a lot of farmers that say, well, Status is just dicamba. No, it's not. That's not even the main weed killer in there. There's another weed killer, that difluphensip here is fantastic. So I think that's important to take a look at too. All right, how about any other crops? Anything else that you wanted to talk about today?
Well, I cut my teeth in Kansas, so spent a lot of time on sorghum, or milo, as we call it. So, you know, again, Verdict and Outlook on milo, if you happen to have that on the rotation, that's an excellent way. In particular, in milo, you really only got one chance to control pigweeds as well. So, again, I just encourage the broader plan, right, and don't get so caught up. I mean, traits are important, and going back on soybeans again, you know, trait packages are important, herbicide platforms are important, but they should be a supplement to clean up any stragglers that get through your pre-emerge program.
Couldn't agree more. All right. Well, we've been talking to Chad Asmus with BSF. Thanks for the time, Chad. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go next to Trevor Israel. He is with Valent. Trevor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Brian. How are you?
Excellent. All right. So we've been talking about pigweed control so far today. What are the top couple of things that you like to bring up to farmers, or for that matter, even agronomists, when they say, hey, I've got a pigweed issue, what do you suggest?
Well, I'll just echo, kind of the sentiment before saying spray the weeds or spray the dirt and not the weeds. you know, really focusing on building a foundation with a good residual program instead of, you know, relying on post-applications. Start with a good foundation of a strong residual herbicide, be a group 14 like either Valor or Fierce. Really focusing on trying to control those weeds before they even make it out of the ground. There's a lot of risk factors involved in post-applications, a lot of what ifs, but you know, if you usually have a strong foundation with a good residual, follow it up with an in-crop residual, more often than not, you know, 99% of the time, that's going to give you a really good foundation for pigweed control.
All right, so you've got both Valor and then the combination with Valor and the active ingredient found in Zidua, Fierce. So when do you steer a guy toward Fierce as opposed to steering him toward straight Valor?
Well, the Fierce, you know, adding in the peroxisulfone, it'll pick up a lot of, you know, grass control. The Valor fumioxin will suppress some annual grasses, but really have a, you know, good control of a lot of annual grasses with the peroxisulfone additive. So just increases your weed spectrum. Fierce is going to have a little bit longer residual with the two modes of action actually, you know, working together. We'll get you further into the season. As a matter of fact, we also have another product this year with three effective modes of action on the amaranth species. That will be Fierce MTZ, so that will have the three different modes of action, all effective on the water hemps and the Palmer amaranth, and really a good product for foundation for weed control.
Yeah, so Metribuzin to go along with Valor and, again, the active ingredient found in Zidua. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's what we talk about all the time. Three different yet all effective modes of action. Talking about post-emerge options, too. I mentioned this earlier in the show, but once we start getting a little bit later in the season, there are a lot of people who end up spraying some Cobra. Now, we have other reasons to spray Cobra, too, like white mold on our farm, for example. But talk to us about Cobra and its effectiveness on pigweed species.
Well, for Cobra on pigweeds, it's, you know, very effective, you know, but again, with many of the other post-PPOs, the timing is critical. The weed stage is critical, you know, kind of, and also the environmental conditions, you know. What we like to see, I guess, as far as in ideal conditions, you know, or spray conditions, you know, a high spray volume, 20 gallon spray or more, the weed height, 4 inches or less, you know, ideal 2 to 3 inches when you're talking about amaranth species. High spray volume, ideally not too hot where the weeds have gone and, you know, formed a heavy cuticle, maybe difficult to get the herbicide in there. So things to keep in mind, but if you, you know, use the strong rates and try and get there for a post application as soon as you can before the weeds get too far beyond the appropriate height.
You mentioned burning through that waxy leaf cuticle. How about using crop oil or methylated seed oil with Cobra? How do you feel about that? Obviously, that adds to leaf burn, but it should improve effectiveness, correct?
That's correct, especially in areas that will have a lower humidity. Kind of, you know, here we're in the Dakotas or Western Dakotas, that area, we deal with a lot of low humidity conditions. The cuticle is pretty thick. That crop oil or MSO, strong rate of that, in addition, you know, in the tank with the Cobra, will really break through that cuticle and get the herbicide to where it needs to be to kill the weed.
All right. Well, hey, Trevor, thanks a lot for being on the show today. We appreciate that, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Yeah, one of the things I didn't get into with Trevor there is the liquid Valor. There's liquid now in addition to the dry. We've been using some of that and have found pretty good effectiveness too, and maybe a little bit easier tank clean out and everything. Well, we'll talk more about pigweed control right after this. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio.
No secrets here. We all know, regardless of the markets, balanced crop nutrition pays. Agro-liquid fertilizers have the research, technology, and products you need to grow a great crop. We also have an outstanding team of field agronomists ready to help you determine the best use of your fertilizer dollar. Agro-liquid can help you maximize your yield potential effectively and economically. Visit agroliquid.com to find a dealer near you.
Every farmer knows that in order to be profitable, you need to maximize the return on your crop input investments. Hi, I'm Scott Harms, an agri-risk specialist with Grain PhD. Without an effective and flexible strategy, your grain marketing plan gets stuck in the mud. With Grain PhD, you get the clarity and guidance a solid marketing plan needs. Our free Grain Bridge software simplifies your cost-profit analysis, and our risk specialists are here to help you develop your plan. Sign up today at grainphd.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Want to turn smart agronomics into smart economics? Go with the all-new Grow Smart Rewards program. 1. Start with a smart agronomic plan. 2. Qualify with the purchase of a participating BASF herbicide. 3. Earn $1+ per acre for each qualifying pair-up brand. Plus, you may qualify for an additional $75 per gallon back on our industry-leading fungicides. For full program details, go to GrowSmartRewards.com. Grow smart with BASF.
When you build with Morton Buildings, you build something that lasts. And now you can build for less during Building Value Days. If you're dreaming of a personal storage building, horse barn, farm storage, home, office, insulated workshop, or even a commercial facility, take advantage of our discounted pricing on new buildings now through February 28, 2019. So don't delay. Visit MortonBuildings.com for more information.
Your grain bin fans can cost you a lot. High electric bills from running when conditions are not ideal, shrinkage from overdried grain, and spoiled grain all take money out of your pocket. With the Steps GMS app temperature humidity switch, get your bin fans to start making you money. Only run fans when the conditions are right. Eliminate shrink and spoilage in your bins. Deliver grain in top condition at market moisture. When every dollar counts, you need Steps GMS. Contact us today at stepsgms.com.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. I am Brian Hefty, live in the Morton studio. If you want to call into the show, 844-44-AG-PHD. We are pleased to be joined by our next guest, our friend Eric Prosko. He is with the University of Georgia. Eric, thanks a lot for joining us again today. We appreciate it.
Hey, Brian. Glad to be with you again, and looking forward to spending a few minutes here.
All right. So we're talking pigweed control today. Is there anything new and different you've learned here in the last couple of years in your research in terms of getting control of this tough weed species?
Well, I think we, that's a great question. I think we have to remain diligent in our efforts, right? We can't ever take a step back. We always got to be going forward. And we have to keep reminding everybody that it's a program approach. It's, at least for us in the Southeast, it's not just about herbicides. It's also about using other things, like tillage when we can, like cover crops when we can, and believe it or not, occasional hand weeding. Those lonely escapes that occur in fields, and there's nothing better than pulling them out of the field before they go produce seed to dump seed back into the field. So that coupled with herbicide time, everything else you've been talking about today, you know, tying that all together and just staying diligent and making sure we do all those things and don't drop those things just because a new technology has come out. You know, we have to, even though we have new technologies, we have to continue doing those other things that work as well.
Last year, for many farmers across the United States, it was a very wet year. We had the wettest year on record on our farm. A lot of other people will tell you the same thing. So when you have a year like that, it's hard to get the tillage done. It's hard to get the weeds sprayed timely. I think we had more weeds end up going to seed than what we have in a while in our area anyway, just because we couldn't get out there and get the work done. So now what are we faced with this coming year?
Well, it's certainly whenever we allow, when things, unfortunately, those kind of things happen, we never have perfect weather, right? So when those kind of things happen, we're going to get perhaps more seed dumped into the field, but we just got to stay the course and do all the things we knew. We've had a long time now to learn more about how to control palmer, amaranth, and other weeds as well, and remembering those things that we're all talking about today. And it's unfortunate when it rains a lot because you have great intentions, but then you can't get in the field and it doesn't matter. All that goes out. Best intentions go out the window when you can't get in the field. And that certainly happened in the Southeast. I know you're aware of what happened in our area.
Yes.
It's been a problem all over.
All right. Let's talk specifically about soybeans, if you don't mind. What are you suggesting for a pre-emerge program? If you want to talk specifically about certain herbicides or active ingredients, that's fine. But I mean, do you have any specifics where you say, boy, this is the best way to go?
Well, sure. One of the things we're worried about in the Southeast is the continued use of the PPO herbicides, right? Because we're more of a cotton and peanut state. We use a lot of Valor in those crops. So when we go to soybeans, I encourage people to use metribuzin when they can for a lot of reasons. Number one, I was around when metribuzin was used a lot, so I like it. Number two, it's very cheap.
Yep.
Right. So it's for $5 an acre or so, we can get a reason. It's not the best pigweed control material, but it's reasonable to give us a little cushion until we can get back in and do something else. And so I often recommend that not only for pigweed, but to help protect the PPOs, because that's a looming issue, or it's an issue I know in your area that, you know, there's resistances developing the PPOs. So we got to protect those as long as we can. And that gives us an option in soybeans to do that. And there's other things we're using, like Warren, Dual, and RA and Zidua now. So a lot of the similar herbicides. We don't tend to use as much of the Sharpen products here that you do in the Midwest for a couple reasons, but we do use a lot of the other herbicides that have been previously mentioned.
You know, I'm glad that you brought up cotton peanuts. There are a number of other crops that are raised in Georgia, as opposed to where I farm. It's pretty much corn and beans. So everybody's using a group 15 in corn. That's one of the reasons we've tried. You know, I don't mind using a group 15 maybe once in soybeans, but we talk a lot about the yellows. How do you feel about the yellows? Is there a lot of use of, herbicides like trifluralin, sonalan, prowl in the South?
There is very much so because of, cotton and peanuts. We use either prowl or sonalan on most of the peanut acres are going to get treated with prowl or sonalan. Still a little bit of trifluralin use going on in cotton. So we still see those. And we do have resistance to that mode of action too. So we have to be careful where those are used and how we use them. But they're still big players in the Southeast, especially on peanuts.
I should have been counting and how many times you've used the word resistance so far. I agree with you 100%. And this is why we talk so much about using even not just two, but many times three effective modes of action. Because even if you lose one, it still gives you two left. So are you making it a point to go to number three or four or anything like that?
Sure. And again, in our two big crops, cotton and peanuts, it's our normal cotton program will have four or five applications throughout the season. And then in our normal peanut program, we're going to do most likely three. And so we have an opportunity to use four or five modes of action in every one of those programs. And that's helping us. But Mother Nature is always looking for a way to put us back under our power, so to speak.
Yep, I hear you. It's always going to be a challenge. Well, we've been talking to Eric Prosko with University of Georgia. Eric, thanks again for the time today. We appreciate it.
All right, I appreciate you calling. You all have a great day.
Yep, you too. Let's go next to Josh. He farms down in North Carolina. Hey, Josh, how are you doing today?
Hey, guys, doing great. How about you?
Excellent. Talk to us just a little bit about pigweed and what kind of issues you're having on your farm, because I understand you get a lot of Roundup resistant pigweed in your area.
It is. If you see a pigweed, I mean, you can pretty much assume it's going to be Roundup resistant and more than likely ALS resistant. Like Eric in Georgia, we do have cotton and peanuts in our area, which can help with our mode of actions. We also have a good bit of corn in the rotation. That helps most of the time. And the biggest problem we have with corn is, you know, we are able to use a atrazine and, Lawtus type materials, which help. Mm-hmm. But our problem, our corn is harvested. Our corn's going to start drying down towards the end of August.
Yep.
So, we're giving up our shade, so we'll have pigweed, resistant pigweed start to germinate in August, and, you know, you go out there and harvest corn September, and we're, you know, that there's plenty of time. We won't get our first frost until end of October, 1st of November. That's plenty of time for a little pigweed to put a seed head on and put a few pigweeds. So in the past few years, we started post-harvest, you know, gramoxone applications after we harvest corn. Gramoxone, maybe 2,4-D, maybe dicamba,
yep,
maybe putting a residual out at that point, and that's helped. The problem is the last couple of falls and winters have been so wet, it's been hard enough just to get the crop out. I think we've missed some of those applications, so we're going to be, you know, our seed bank maybe have kind of built up the last year or two.
How about cover crops, Josh? Have you tried that at all to hold them back?
Cover crop, yeah, in our area, cover crops work. If you can get the crop out of the field and get them planted in a timely manner, cover crops will work. Another thing that has worked, well, we don't have cover crop and we've got fairly flat land, so it's not a big deal with erosion. A fall burn down, a residual in the fall to keep the winter annuals down, keep those things down. So then when we go out there with our burn down, I think one of the callers earlier mentioned, we can actually go out there and spray a residual and actually get it on the dirt. And we're not spraying, you know, our residual's not getting tied up with the grass and the weeds. That's been a pretty good help.
Josh, I got about 30 seconds left. Any other comments you want to leave us with when it comes to pigweed control?
I just say, and it was talked about the previous callers, rotating your mode of action. In North Carolina, we've been pretty heavy the last few years with PPO products. I think the more we can save those for unique situations, the better off we are. Metribuzin was mentioned. That's a great product. And err on the side of being early when you're putting out these residuals.
Yep, I agree. Good tips. Josh, thanks for calling in today. We really appreciate it, and we wish you the best of luck fighting this pigweed in 2019.
Thanks for all you guys.
You bet, thanks. All right, we're going to get to the Ag PhD mailbag right after this. If you've got a question for me, just send it in at radio@agphd.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Customer service goes a long way when trying something new. Ryan Shaw from Michigan shares how Soil Warrior helped him transition to strip tillage in his operation.
The Soil Warrior guys, they are amazing to work with. They made this jump in this transition extremely painless. One question that I get all the time is, how is the service and everything? And I said, well, actually, I get better service from them than I typically do my dealers uptown. They're just amazing.
More info at soilwarrior.com.
Give your corn a strong defense against stress throughout the season with MycoApply Endoprime SC. MycoApply Endoprime SC uses four specially selected species of mycorrhizal fungi to protect your crop against stress. That means more access to water and key micronutrients while building a healthy soil structure for stronger crops for years to come. Stronger corn starts beneath the surface. Learn more about MycoApply Endoprime SC at endoprimecorn.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Clean fields and higher yields start with a strong battle plan. For soybean growers, there's no stronger ally than Sonic herbicide. When applied pre-emerge, Sonic is proven to defeat yield robbers like water hemp, mare's tail, and giant ragweed. With long-lasting residual control, it keeps fighting to defend your field from invaders. Visit battleweeds.com to plan your attack against weeds. Always read and follow label directions.
Sir, yes, sir!
Your independent spirit is more rewarding than ever before. Unlike incentive programs that require growers to purchase a particular seed brand or to bundle certain products, the FMC Freedom Pass program rewards you for making the best choices for your fields. You decide what's best for your operation, from pre-plant to harvest. Your retailer and FMC take care of the rest. It's really that simple. The exclusive agronomic rewards, performance assurances, application innovations, and product financing of the FMC Freedom Pass program make it easier to protect your crops and cash flow. That's what we mean when we say we give you more freedom in the field. You'll experience more control and confidence too. Generics and imitators can't promise that. Visit your authorized FMC retailer or FMCFreedomPass.com to calculate your potential financial incentive and learn more.
High-yield corn growers know that feeding the crop and soil are keys to maximizing yield potential. Nutex EDA and Reverb are specifically formulated to help manage limiting factors associated with today's farming conditions. Nutex EDA works within the plant to support nutrient mobility and utilization. Reverb focuses on the soil, providing beneficial trace elements which help condition the root zone for optimal microbial activity. Low use rates and superb tank mix compatibility make Nutex EDA and Reverb no-brainers in the high-yield grower toolbox.
Come on in. The Ag PhD mailbag is about to begin.
All right, our first comment here comes from Stacy, who says, it would be great if you could bring a winter workshop up to Manitoba. Stacy, I was in Manitoba this fall doing a workshop. Let's see, I think it was in October. I wasn't expecting I was going to have a bunch of snow on the way home, but it snowed the entire way home for me. So that got to be a long day, a lot of driving that night. But anyway, yeah, we are occasionally in Manitoba with some workshops. Not often, though. Just in a couple of days here, I am going to be over in Alberta. So I realize, you know, it's depending on where you live in Manitoba, it's quite a ways over to Alberta, to Lethbridge, where I'll be at. But I will be there. We'll also be in Fargo, North Dakota, and Thief River Falls, Minnesota, coming up real soon as well. So you can go to our schedule at agphd.com to see where we're going to be, and hopefully we get a little bit closer to you. All right, next one comes from John, who says, hi guys, not sure if you do consulting work. If so, I'll be happy to pay you if you take a look at this. Well, John, by the way, this is John from Minnesota. John, you don't have to pay us. I'm more than happy to look at it anytime you want. Anyway, John goes on to say here, after watching your show on base saturation for K, I contacted our local co-op because I've never felt my levels have been high enough. They use parts per million as their base and don't feel with our soils the base saturation number is as important as parts per million. I'm sending you maps and their comments. I'd appreciate your input. So anyway, I'll read just a little bit about what their person said to them. They said, okay, I circled the area on the soils where you can see base saturation of K is only 2 to 3. At the same time, the K parts per million is 195 to 290 and CECs are 23 to 25. So that's a heavy soil, by the way. If there was an issue with K, the parts per million would not reflect that high of a value. What I believe is happening is with a CEC level as high as 25, there's a much higher level of free calcium in the soil, enough to change the equation for base saturation to make it appear that there is less K if strictly using the base saturation number for K. In areas of lower CEC, around 12 to 17, it's as if there are 100 part must be parts per million of calcium to every 5 parts per million of potassium in the soil, so 5% base saturation of K. In CECs of 20 plus, then you're down to like 2 or 3% base saturation K. Anyway, his person here finishes up by saying, I hope this makes some sense as to why I'm not getting too worried over the base saturation levels and am more interested in the parts per million. All right, well, John, look, we have found in our experience, this is what ends up happening. When you're base saturation K numbers are that low, I would encourage you to pull some tissue tests, take a couple spots, and pull tissue tests every single week during the growing season, and you will most likely find that your plants were deficient in potassium during several of those tests. We can't have that if we're going to have top yields. So the problem is when you have lots of calcium, lots of magnesium in soils, the potassium just doesn't get into the plant. So you've got to get that potassium level up in order to get the potassium level into the plant in the ratio that it should be in. Now, there are a lot of different labs out there, a lot of different opinions on this, and let me just say this too. Even if I'm wrong, let's just say that I'm wrong. I'm not, but let's just say that I was wrong. What's the worst possible thing that could happen to you here? I'm advising you to put more potassium on right now. Okay, if you say, boy, that really didn't seem to pay, well, then mine all that potassium out over the next few years. It's no big deal. You just spent the money up front. So potassium isn't going anywhere in your heavy soil in Minnesota where you don't get crazy amounts of rainfall or anything. You're not going to lose it. So what's the risk? You just put the money out up front instead of putting it out a little bit as you go. But all I can tell you is we've done this for years and years and years, and you got to get that base saturation K level up. You're going to be happy that you did. All right. Next one here is from Patrick, and he says, hi, I am from Alberta in Canada, and I'm running into a disturbing situation regarding seed treatments. I was wondering if you could give me some of your feedback. So I know when listening to your show, you guys are always big fans of doing of having farmers do their own trials. So we did, replicated. We're starting our third set now. I'm not happy with what I'm finding for results relative to what I've been told for 30 years as I sold the seed treatment products. When I emailed my chem rep looking for answers, he was downplaying all that we were doing. He asked for some seed samples and seed treatments so they could run their own trials. I provided them to him and asked how they'd be replicated. He stated using lab pottings. I'm not sure what he's getting at here. He stated using lab potting. Maybe he's using lab potting soil. And he just says here, guys, in my opinion, using potting soil does not simulate soil in the field that's teeming with biology. I agree with you on that, by the way, Patrick. So anyway, he's just wondering, can I get some feedback from you on seed treatments? Now, Patrick, you sent me a link, and I couldn't find anything on that link to what specific seed treatments you're talking about. So maybe if you want to send me some more specifics, that would be great. But I will tell you this. We do a lot of work on seed treatments, and we have a lot of farmers that are doing work on seed treatments. Certainly, it is possible that a seed treatment isn't going to pay, and it is also possible that a seed treatment could hurt the germination of your seed. So you have to be careful about what you're using, how it's applied, what's the rate. I mean, there are a lot of factors that enter into all this. But I will tell you, when used properly, we love seed treatments. On our corn seed we'll plant this spring, we'll have 33 treatments on it. I think our soybeans are going to have 36 treatments on it. We do a lot of biologicals. We will typically go 3 or 4 or sometimes even 5 fungicides. We'll get some insecticide on there. We're using sometimes plant growth hormones. There are many things that can be used, but again, you got to be real careful about what products you're using, how you're applying them, the rates that you're using, all that type of thing. I will also finish up by saying that even if something works on average, you're still going to have probably some failures, but on the flip side, you're probably going to have some big successes. But I would tell you this, if your trials are showing you that whatever seed treatment package is used in your area is not working, well, then you don't want to be using that if it's just flat out not working in your soil for multiple years now in replicated trials. But find something else, because there are really good seed treatments out there. We talk about them all the time here on the show and certainly on our farm. All right, we've got a caller right now from down in Florida. It's Patty on the line. Hi, Patty. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. So I hear you have some fungus on your plants.
On cucumbers. Every year we plant them. We've done pH on the soil. It comes out right. We've used Miracle-Gro. I'm out of ideas. And my husband wants to have a successful crop here of cucumbers, and we can't get it for the last 3 years.
Okay, so we don't know for sure which disease we're talking about here, correct? It's just a white fungus?
That's what we were told by the Agriculture Extension Agriculture.
But I can
describe it to you. I mean.
Well, okay, but let me ask you this. Did you bring any of the plants into the extension office or whoever it is so they could identify this?
No, I sent them a picture via email.
Okay. So here's my first suggestion, because we'll finish up with fungicides. I'll probably have to catch that right after this break. But let me just first say, any disease, any pest we have, we would really like to know for sure what is it that we're dealing with. What it sounds like to me is a fungal disease, but and it sounds like that's the direction the ag people are steering you toward. But until we have 100% identified it for sure, then I can't go ahead and tell you, oh yeah, you simply simply do this and that will take care of it. Now, if I tell you that and then it doesn't work, then you're going to go, wait a second. Hey, what's going on here? Well, it was probably because we're not talking about the same thing. So yeah, when it comes to any plant out there, they certainly can get disease on them. And that's where we have, I mean, you can have some type of fungal growth. So we'll, like I say, we'll talk about that in a little more detail. And I'll talk to you about fungicides right after this break. But with cucumbers, they're not unlike any other plant. There are different varieties out there, and some varieties are more tolerant to diseases than others. Also, when you have the other thing, in order for disease to hit you, is you have to have the right environment. So typically we're talking about a fair amount of moisture and a fair amount of humidity. So one of the things that some people will do just as a cultural practice is they will change their watering and just water the soil rather than watering over the top of the plants. So that may be something that you could consider as well. We'll talk specifically about fungicides and answer your question right after this.
In farming, there's a lot of variables out of our control. Don't let fertility be one of them. Let the experts at AgroLiquid move you closer to your bullseye. It's true. AgroLiquid fertilizers are formulated to keep nutrients available to your crop, and they have unmatched compatibility with other nutrients and crop protection products, which makes application more efficient than ever. But we also have the best people in the field, ready to talk about your operation, your goals. Go to agroliquid.com to move you closer to your target.
One year it could be moisture stress, another Pythium or nematodes. So you need your soybeans to rise ready for whatever the season holds. Now one simple decision provides coverage on four fronts. The Acceleron portfolio, fungicides, insecticides, bioenhancers, and an industry-leading nematicide that strikes where nematodes attack. This season, rise stronger with Acceleron seed treatment products. Learn more at AcceleronSAS.com/riseready. Performance may vary. It's important to use proper PPE when handling treated seed.
Clean fields and higher yields start with a strong battle plan. For soybean growers, there's no stronger ally than Sonic herbicide. When applied pre-emerge, Sonic is proven to defeat yield robbers like water hemp, mare's tail, and giant ragweed. With long-lasting residual control, it keeps fighting to defend your field from invaders. Visit battleweeds.com to plan your attack against weeds. Always read and follow label directions.
Sir, yes, sir!
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Vellum is Rotam North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Vellum. For more information, visit vellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
What do you think of when you hear Palmer Amaranth or water hemp? If you use Fierce herbicide in your soybean field, you don't have to think about them at all. With two effective modes of action and up to 8 weeks of residual control, Fierce takes on even the toughest weeds like water hemp and Palmer Amaranth. Take control of your soybean field and get rewarded with Roundup Ready Plus when you choose the proven power of Fierce herbicide. Talk to your local retailer today to put Fierce to work in your fields. Always read and follow label directions.
Want to turn smart agronomics into smart economics? Go with the all-new Grow Smart Rewards program. 1. Start with a smart agronomic plan. 2. Qualify with the purchase of a participating BASF herbicide. 3. Earn $1+ per acre for each qualifying pair-up brand. Plus, you may qualify for an additional $75 per gallon back on our industry-leading fungicides. For full program details, go to growsmartrewards.com. Grow smart with BASF.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. Right before the break, we're talking to Patty from Florida, who has some type of fungus growing on her cucumbers. And so, Patty, the comment that I had made earlier is we would talk about fungicides specifically. There are many that are labeled on cucumbers: Prevacure Flex, Ranman, Gavel, Presidio, Tanos, Zampro, Dithane, Bravo. You've got a lot of different ones that could be used. And in terms of pre-harvest interval, it will vary with many of them, all the way from zero that Zampro and Ranman have, up to 5 days with Gavel. So you can spray them shortly before harvest. But the thing with fungicides is we always want to try to spray before the disease really gets set in. So when you go out to your garden someday and it's just covered in white fungus all over the place, we're really too late. So if possible, we want to be out there as early as we can when we spot the first evidence that, boy, there's anything going wrong with that plant. Now, if you say, I don't want to use any fungicides and I only have a tiny little garden and I don't want to buy enough stuff to treat for 20 years, if you happen to have a small garden, I would tell you, you could get some copper. Some people will use very low rates of copper over the top of the cucumbers. There are also, if you read a little bit on the internet, you'll find some people with their organic cures, which could include oils, baking soda. There are people trying all kinds of things out there. So just depends on kind of what you're after, but certainly there are options to control most diseases in cucumbers. But again, I'd like to find out absolutely for sure what we're dealing with first before I tell you, all right, this for sure is the best way to go. Does that kind of help you out a little bit, Patty?
Yes, sir, but I can tell you this. It's white and slimy. Nasty looking.
Many of those fungal diseases are. We deal with them. I don't raise any cucumbers, but we raise corn, soybeans, wheat, a number of different crops. And we fight some of these same types of diseases there, too. You get fungus growing on almost anything, and in not very long, especially in the right weather conditions, it can turn a little bit slimy. So, nope, I'm with you, and I certainly wish you the best of luck in trying to get this thing under control.
Thank you so much for all your help and your time. You have a wonderful day and a great week.
You bet. You too. Thanks, Patty. All right, let's go next to Cody, who's calling in. And Cody, it sounds like you got a little field bindweed out there.
You bet I do, yeah. No, we picked up this quarter just last year, and so last season was our first crop on it. And we had Roundup Ready canola on it. And they had abandoned a previous oil well that was on there some years back, and I guess I just got some papers in the mail from the outfit that was doing the reclamation work, and they always do a, you know, more or less a assay of all the different weeds that's in the old well site and whatever to make sure that it's not bad or anything. And you know, there was a typical little bit of Canada thistle and your typical weeds that we get around here, but I noticed there was like this field bindweed, and I've heard about it, and you know, I heard it's a noxious weed and everything, and yep. I don't know what would be your best plan of attack in a cereal crop.
Yeah, it gets tough. And oats especially is really challenging. Yeah. We just don't have many options in oats. So in both oats and wheat, what I'm probably going to tell you, and I hate to use it, but I would probably do some sort of 2,4-D. 2,4-D can be a little hard on the wheat and oats, but at least you will burn back the field bindweed for a while. Now, if there ends up an opportunity, either in the spring or in the fall, at some point when you don't have that crop that is growing and is above ground. So in other words, you could have even seeded it, but as long as it's not above ground, we're okay. I really like hitting it with a strong rate of Roundup. You have to run with a lower water volume, but a strong rate of Roundup, and you can do pretty well on field bindweed and many other perennials. But yeah, it just seems strange because most broadleaf weeds, I don't really have a huge issue controlling in the small grains, but with this one, yeah, that is tougher. So there are some guys out there who have used Husky, and certainly that can work. That is the combination of Buctrol, which doesn't do a whole lot, but then HPPD, and the HPPD product will burn it back as well. So, you know, if you can use that, that's an option. But generally speaking, I'll usually talk to people about 2,4-D, you know, one of the MCP products or something like that.
Okay. I wondered, too, if I could just double crop it to Roundup Ready canola again or whatever.
Well, that'd be fantastic. I mean, if
smoke it again.
Right, yeah. And if you just have canola in the rotation, when it's in the rotation, you want to hit it with the highest labeled rate of the Roundup, so yeah. you get the best control. Because what happens a lot of times is we're using lower rates to burn a few weeds back and kill the annual weeds. Well, it's not enough to fully kill that perennial root system of the field bindweed. So what we've always found is we'd rather go with higher rates in one shot than lower rates in two shots to kill those types of weeds.
Okay. Good to know.
All right. Well, thanks for the question.
Thank you.
You bet.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, there are lots of weed questions all the time that we get here at Ag PhD, and also lots of soil questions like this next one. It's Dale from Iowa who says, I've been using a lot of soil treatments like ammonium sulfate. I'm usually leery of using things like that, but I have some tough clay, and I really struggle with growing good corn on that tough clay. So can you give me any advice or opinions you might have on ammonium sulfate? Well, Dale, what I'd really like to see is your soil test. Very often we talk to farmers about using gypsum if, let's say, you've got high levels of magnesium and lower levels of calcium, and then it does seem to open that soil up a little bit more and it makes the soil a little bit softer. But I'd really like to see the soil test before I start making lots of recommendations toward that. But let's put it this way. If you need nitrogen for your corn and you need sulfur for the corn, because either your soil test is low or just flat out corn needs a lot of sulfur, ammonium sulfate's usually a pretty good way to go. So I'm not even considering it a whole lot of a seed treatment, or a soil treatment, I should say, as much as I am just a flat-out fertilizer for the corn. On top of that, though, I may consider using some gypsum or something else if you've got some really tough, heavy clay soils. But again, I'd like to see the soil test before I start telling you for sure. All right, next question is from Josh in Illinois. He says, after a couple years of testing for molybdenum through soil tests, tissue tests, and SAP tests, it appears we have SAP tests, I should say, rather than SAP. It appears we have virtually no molybdenum. Do you have suggestions on a soil-applied product to at least try on a few strips? There's a number of foliar products out there, but I want to try to feed the soil first. I've heard this discussed in the past, but I'm looking specifically for a dry product that I could use. All right, so Josh, we have used a little bit of sodium molybdate on our farm. Now, yes, we have used many different foliar products. We use some AC97. There is, I know we've used some AgriLiquid Micro EX in furrow and some straight Molly in furrow, or 2x2. Both of those things can work. But if you were looking for a dry product, sodium molybdate is usually what we talk about. Now, I would say be a little careful. I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe, if memory serves, the legal limit for applying molybdenum in a year on an acre is 0.8 pounds. That's all you can put on in the United States legally. So you have to be a little careful about some of the trials you might want to run. It doesn't take a whole lot of molybdenum, and you've got a bunch out there for a long time. Molybdenum is tremendously important for corn, for soybeans, for a lot of different crops. All right, last one I'll get to real quick. This one comes from Craig. He says, I watch Ag PhD all the time, and I never hear anyone talk about controlling Johnson grass. I need to try to find something to control it in my hay fields. Thanks for your help. Well, Craig, first of all, we do have the Ag PhD Field Guide app. So if you look on that, you will find Johnson grass. Now, that's going to give you control methods in corn, soybeans, and wheat. It's possible that you may be able to use some of those products in your situation, because I don't know what type of hay we're talking about here. I assume it's grass hay, but I don't know if it's alfalfa or something else. But let's assume that it's a grass. There are some ALS herbicides that are labeled, like Outrider, Pastora, Plateau. But if your Johnson grass is ALS resistant, well, then it's unfortunately trouble. Also, it's possible to have Roundup resistance, so even killing off the hay with Roundup may not be effective. Another thing that could potentially work would be clethodim. We talk about that in soybeans. So there are some options out there. Hopefully you don't have too much resistance in your Johnson grass. Well, before we go, I just want to say thanks again to our production staff. Thanks to everyone who called or wrote in with questions. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.